Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. This is Brother Fawn Miller. I'm delighted to come your way and delighted to have you tuning our way so that we might share with you the good word of God. We're continuing on, and this is the seventh in the series on loving God biblically. We want to look today at the fact that loving God properly brings out obedience in our lives. We'll share a number of things with you. Trust you have your Bible there, a piece of paper or a tablet or a notebook, whatever you take your notes in, and be able to add to that these truths about loving God in a biblical fashion. We're going to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into the study of the Word of God. Again, our Father, we thank you for the privileged hours to look into thy Word. Thy Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Thy Word is that which we can hide in our hearts and avoid the sinning against thee. Lord, you've given to us your Word. You've given to us your Holy Spirit. And I pray, our Father, that also not only is he indwelling those of us who believe, but he's in this world to convince the world and convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. May that be the portion for each one of us today. And may you receive the glory, the adoration, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Never said I'd have silver or gold, yet he has promised me riches untold. He never suffered a life without care, yet he relieves every burden I bear. Since
amen. Love is why. And, you know, that is a fact. Love is why there is redemption. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, that Christ died for us. That's love. Well, we're talking about loving God biblically. We're talking about, God loves us. We know that. But it's how is our response to him? And we had looked at several things within 1 John. And 1 John is a rather interesting book, giving us the fact of relationship. You know, when you look at the word love, it's kind of interesting. The amount of times that you find the word love in this wonderful book of 5 chapters. Do you realize there's 44 times the word love or a word that relates to love are used, and many of those times it is the believer's response because of God's response to him. There's also in chapter or in the first writing of John, which is the Gospel of John, about 99 times he relates this matter of love and talks about this love of God for us and how our response ought to be in that love. And we shared with you the Lord's, I believe, compassionate, tender conversation with Peter about love. I don't think it was absolutely a rebuke, but rather the Lord getting Peter to think squarely. Think about what this matter of love is, who the Lord Jesus is, and the fact of living for him. I mean, Peter was not afraid to say what he, you know, what he believed when the Lord said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Is they all the disciples were given all kind of answers, but Peter vocally said, "Some say you're one of the prophets," and he named off some, and then he said, "Jesus said, who do you say that I am?" And Peter very quickly says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then to that, all the other apostles agreed. So Peter is one that is very quick to give an answer, and maybe he ought to think a little bit more, you know. But God used him in a great and mighty way, and I think more of us relate to him than do to the Apostle Paul. And, you know, both of them had a full dedication of their lives to the Lord when they really were gripped by the Lord. Now, I want you to look with me as we look at this matter of the biblical love for God and brings obedience in our lives. If you will, look with me at 1 John and chapter 2. 1 John and chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God." Now note this: perfected, matured, developed. "Hereby know we that we are in him." Now, very simply, John doesn't mince any words. He says, listen, we know him because we keep his commandments. And if we keep not his commandments, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. So very simply, John is saying, now get this into your mind. The love of God produces a love for him, which produces an obedience to his commandments. Now, he's not talking simply the Ten Commandments. Over in the Gospel of John, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Then he gave that command that we love others as well, even as our own selves. And so what he's bringing out is that the things that the Lord gave us to do, the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, was not an option for them to do, but it was a necessity. They needed to do it to be obedient to the Lord. And, of course, we read the history in the book of Acts. They did it. They got out there and did the task. Now, so John is saying, first of all, we will keep his word. Now look at verse 5. "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." So he's saying that if you keep his word, it is very clear evidence that you know him, that you love him. Now, I realize people can put on a sham, and I'm not negating that fact. The point is, we're looking at what people need to do, should do, so that they will be a testimony to the Lord. Now, you can get involved, yes, in church activity, in visitation activity, in whatever activity you want. You can get involved in that. But it's going to be a matter of how do you follow through? You can see a lot of people that are in the military. We used to call the officers who came in, and they were there for just a few months, and then they'd go back to the reserve unit. Of course, reservists could do the same thing, but they called the officers 90-day wonders. And because they were there for that brief period of time, so they could abide by the regulations, by the rules, by the orders that were given. But it did not have to take care and take charge of their life. Now, somebody who was on active duty for a long period of time, of course, it was going to show. We were going to have to obey God's word. I mean, not God's word, the government's word, or the branch of military we were on the code of conduct. We had to follow that. And that was a daily thing. It was not something we did today and forget it the rest of the life. No, it was what you maintained. I kind of forget those things, but then again, forgive me for that, because that was 1958 to 62. I was in there for that, and I kind of forgot some things since then. But anyway, it's a matter of obedience and a continuous life. Go over with me to John chapter 15. This is a great, great chapter. I love this chapter. I've read it many, many, many times. I've preached on it, studied it, and just tried to analyze it. And it still serve a great purpose to get back here at it. But look at verse 9. There's so many other things we could read about it. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now note this. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. You see, there's joy in the believer's life in obedience, in living obediently to the Lord, and that your joy might be full. John 10:10, he says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's really what he's talking about there in verse 11. Then verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Now note this, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Here the Lord Jesus Christ describes this love relationship. The love relationship in this particular case was the relationship the disciples should have toward him, and thus toward God. So he's bringing out this matter of a love relationship. Number two, we looked here at the fact that this biblical love brings out obedience, and something else that would tie to that, it produces discernment. True love produces discernment. Look, if you will, at 1 John chapter 4. Back to 1 John chapter 4, and I would draw your attention to verse 1, and we'll look at a couple of verses here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And as he goes on, he says here to, and even now already is it in the world. Then he says in verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Discernment. There's a great need for that today, a discernment of what God wants to do in our lives. Let's go back to chapter 2, and look at a couple of verses right here. Little children, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist should come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, and they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now you notice he's laying out before them that these people are not ignorant of what God is doing. They're very much real in their minds. And I would say this. This comes from reading and studying the Word of God, both in the church and then in your personal devotions. We need to spend time with the Lord. Now notice verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is a Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Note that and be careful with that. You see, he says if you will not honor the Son, if you do not believe on him, and there are religions out here today that are denying that Jesus any more than that he was a man, maybe a little bit more spiritual than some, but he was merely a man. He was not the divine Son of God. Some have made him equal as a brother to Satan or Lucifer. Lucifer did the bad things, sort of like Cain and Abel, but that's not the case. Jesus Christ is the Son of the Father. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Savior for mankind, and there is no other Savior. And in no way can we be obedient to the Father without being obedient to the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So you see, John is writing and saying, listen, you need to have discernment. You need to understand. You know, later on, they're going to say that you're not to be a partaker of other men's evil deeds, not even to bid them Godspeed. So when these cultic groups come to your door, you turn them away, and no, it's not a time to have a cup of tea or coffee with them. You just turn them away because God said so. That's what you do. So you're not partaker of their evil deeds. Well, we're going to listen to a song. Then we want to get right back into this as we look at this discernment leads us to a life of separation.
Deepens, Lord, with me above.
a beautiful song, Abide With Me. You know, those old hymns, boy, carried with them a very, very solid message. What a blessing to hear them sung or to sing them. I love doing that. Now, we're talking about this love, a right love for God, a biblical love for God will bring us not only into obedience to the Word, but it'll bring us discernment of the Word in being able to decipher what is true, what is not true, what is right, what is wrong. We could have looked at a lot of other verses. We're not going for all the verses in the Bible, but hopefully to whet your appetite to look into that. Now, we want to look at this matter of separation. Years ago, there used to be a lot of preaching about separation. Some of it was, maybe a little bit on the frivolous side. But, you know, the discerning Christian has to learn that there are some things that the doctrines of the Word of God demand us to take a stand on. I believe we need to take a stand on the Scriptures. And I'll hear somebody say, amen, brother, preach it, King James only. Well, we use the King James. But the stand on the Scriptures has to do with the Word of God itself. Now, that will lead you to the translation. But what about the Word of God? Is the Word of God the Word of God? Or can I pick and choose? Can I pick out and say, boy, I tell you what, I believe this speaks to my heart, so this has to be the Word of God. No, it makes no difference if you think it speaks to your heart or you don't. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Now, I use, and then some of you won't like this, I use the, as close to, the original Scofield Reference Bible. I love it. I've cut my teeth on it. I've preached it and been since the 60s. 1960s, not 1860s. 1960s, I've preached from it, studied it, meditated on it, memorized it. So I'll stick with it. But what I'm saying is, the point is this. It's not this Bible that's bound. I've heard some say you have to have seven bindings in it. If it doesn't have seven bindings, it's not the seven sealed book. Well, this, pardon the English, this ain't the book of Revelation. That's a whole different book. But beloved, it is the Word of God. Seven bindings are there. Might be good. It might help it to hold together longer. But very simply, the Word of God, the Word was found, I did eat, became the joy and rejoicing of my heart, the Scripture says. So it is the Word that God has given. Now, this brings discernment. Look with me at 1 John in chapter 2. Now, we're staying in 1 John for most of it. We'll look at some other passages, and there are a lot of other passages, but time doesn't permit all of that. And so I want you to look with me at chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 15. Notice, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, separation comes from the worldly allurement. That doesn't mean that you just reject everything in this world, that you can't watch a baseball game, a football game. I get so disgusted with some of the players, I just decide, hey, I've watched very little, but not because it's wrong. Now, I can make that an idol. I can stay home from church and watch my particular team play a particular game. That's wrong. In fact, I try to make it a policy. If I'm not well enough, and I've had a number of battles over this past fall and now getting into the winter of health, but I try to make it a policy not to be sitting and watching TV while church would be going on. Usually, I'm reading the Word of God, or maybe sometimes I'm just laying around because I really can't even concentrate. But be that as it may, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't let the world draw your attention away from the Lord. Now, he goes on to say this, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we're talking about this love relationship. And if you and I really have a love for the Father, we're going to become discerning individuals with regard to the things of the world. You are in the world, Jesus said, but you're not of the world, in that his great high priestly prayer. So you're in the world, you're bumping shoulders with the world, you're seeing the images of the world, but you do not have to make them part of your life. Or you can discern when certain things can be part of your life. Now, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, I think we can put into this, and I'm not going to get into a sermon on it. We can put in here the kind of music we listen to. We can put in here the kind of materials we read, the kind of programs we watch on TV. We can put all of these things, we can put in the things that we do in this world. Now, you have to go to work. You have to bump shoulders with those who would profane the name of God. But you can stand up with a testimony for the Lord. Now, there are many other things. We're going to pick up on this part of the matter of separation. We'll look at several other passages of Scripture. But, beloved, a love for God will bring obedience to His Word, will bring discernment in His Word, and then will lead us to a separation in our lives so that we might display the Word to others. Father, speak to hearts, save souls, encourage Christians. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You would like to contact us, you can do it by writing an email, WOT@WOTBM.org, and mark Message of Truth to let us identify that email. Or you can go and look on our website, and that'll give you a lot of other details. That's WOTBM.org. God bless you, my friend.